If you would, turn in your Bible to Luke, the 10th chapter. We're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's not a new story. It might be to some of you. Maybe you've never heard this parable that Jesus taught. I'm sure many of us have read the parable of the Good Samaritan before. Hopefully there will be some people that will be hearing it for the first time brand new. Hopefully for the rest of us, because every time I look at some, I always get something new out of it. In Luke, the 10th chapter, we see the account. But first of all, we need to understand who the Samaritans were. Okay? To really drive this point home. Samaritans had assimilated with the pagan gods around them. They liked to think that they were worshiping the same God that the Israelites were. But they had adhered to idol worship. They in a lot of ways, thumbed their nose at God because they had been taught, but they refused. And they perverted the word of God and worship. When the temple was being built, they wanted to help out. Oh, we worship the same God. We'll help you. They were rejected. You will have no part in the building of this temple because you pervert the word of God. Even though this was so long ago, I see this alive and well today. People thinking, there's a lot of Samaritans in the world today. People thinking they're worshiping God, but they're thumbing their nose at God. They've perverted. They're doing it the way they want. Not only were they rejected, but then they ridiculed the Jews. We see in Ezra and Nehemiah when the walls were built, the temple, they were ridiculing the Jews for doing it. In John 4, verse 9, we see the account of Jesus and a Samaritan woman at a well. And the woman is talking to Jesus, and she goes, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" It was that was common knowledge. It was a long-standing tradition. You don't deal with Samaritans. They pervert the word of God. They think they're some of God's people. They're not. And this Samaritan woman is curious why are you even dealing with me? And so this parable of the Good Samaritan, to understand it, we kind of need to understand about the Samaritans. In Luke 10, and starting off in verse 25, we see a question. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Sincere sounding question. Sounds like a question many of us ask of ourselves. What do I need to do to get eternal life? The brethren on the day of Pentecost asked that same question. What shall we do to be saved? Anybody that has ever put their Lord on in baptism correctly and have been added to the church have asked that very same question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? In verse 26, we see Jesus responding with a question. made them think, made them come to the answer. My dad was notorious. I'd ask him a question. All I wanted was an answer. And pretty soon, he'd direct the conversation to where I would come up with my own answer. Instead of him telling me, he would direct the conversation where I would answer a question I had myself. And if I didn't like the answer, I'm the one answering it. But here Jesus was asked a question. He responds by asking them a question. He said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" Okay, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds, "Well, what's written in the book? What's written in the law?" Then we have the response. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The response is something, as a Jew, you would have learned from the beginning of your life. This would have been ingrained into your mind from your parents, sitting around the table. It was taught with them every day. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Everything you do, you love the Lord. And he goes on to say, and love your neighbor as yourself. That was well known. Now it's Jesus' response in verse 28. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Do this. You know the answer, you still have to do it. You still have to do it. That's the hard part. That was sometimes the hard part for me in math. Showing my work, I could figure the answer, but the teacher wanted me to show my work. Show that I know how to do it. Because you can get an answer lots of ways. You can, girl sitting next to you, which was very common. You can get the answer. Show your work. Show your work, Jesus is saying. I want to be able to see it in you. Not just the answer. I just don't want to see the answer to the problem. Do this and you will live. Man has another question. I just want to clarify this, God, or Jesus. I just want to make sure I'm understanding this. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" I want to make sure I got this right. Who I have to, is it love your neighbor as yourself? Well, who does that include? Who can I leave out? Doesn't mean, I got my little list of people that I want to love. I can do that. Dick read the sermon or the scripture today. If you only love those that love you, what are you doing? Even the tax collectors, even the sinners do that. And Jesus, who exactly is my neighbor? I want to get this right. I want to take notes because I want to make sure those people you tell me that I love. There's a lot of people out there. I don't want to waste time with people I don't have to. In verses 30 through 35, Jesus teaches with a parable. He teaches about what is going on right now, but in a different circumstance. In the 1950s, Arthur Miller wrote The Crucible. Salem witch trials, all that stuff. It wasn't about no Salem witch trials. He was using the setting of the Salem witch trials to talk about McCarthyism and the communist scare and all that stuff. He was using a different setting to talk about something that was going on. Jesus is doing the same. Jesus is using a different circumstance to teach and drive the point home. The man's asked, who's my neighbor? I want to know who I have to be nice to get this eternal life. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Not a good situation. That was a common occurrence for thieves and robbers to lay kind of in between cities, catch some isolated traveler, traveling with goods, traveling with money or valuables, lay in wait, ambush them, and they're far from a town. There's nobody else to help them. Left him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. You're laying there, you're wounded, you're sore, you've been beat up, half dead, and you see somebody coming down the road. Oh, here comes somebody to help me. The first guy was a priest. Oh, good, a religious guy. He'll stop and help me. Going on the other side of this. I don't want no part of this. And then a Levite. From the Levites were ones that the priests of Israel had to come from the tribe of Levi. A Levite comes. Oh, here comes somebody to help me. Goes past by the other side. Maybe they had a gospel meeting they had to get to. Maybe it was potluck Sunday. They didn't want to, you know, they wanted, maybe they just didn't want to be late. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The least likely person to come down the road not only saw him, they all saw him. The priest and the Levite, they saw him and they took action. They went to the other side of the road. I want to stay away from him. This person saw him and he had compassion. And he acted on the compassion. He went and he took effort. It took effort on the part of this Samaritan. He bandaged his wounds. He poured oil and wine. He inconvenienced himself, set him on his own animal. I'm going to Jericho. Now I got to walk. Put him on his own animal. Brought him to an inn. I ain't going that way. I wasn't going to the inn. I was going over here to someplace else. And he took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Not only did he stop, he had compassion on another human being, cared for him, bandaged his wounds, cleaned him up, put him on his own animal, took him to an inn, took care of them there. I've got to get going. You're safe. Innkeeper, I got to go. Here's some money. Take care of him. If you wind up needing more, because this is my friend, this might be my cousin, no, he didn't even know him. If you need more, when I come back through, let me know, and we'll square up accounts. So Jesus teaches them this parable. The man had been wanting to know, who's my neighbor? I want eternal life. What do I got to do? Jesus says, what does it say in the scriptures? He quotes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do it. Well, who exactly is my neighbor? And then he teaches them this parable. In verse 36, Jesus asks them a question. Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Verse 37, you have an answer. And the man said, he who showed mercy on him. Not just had the compassion. Unless they're a really, really hard-hearted person. Person passing by and seeing a guy that's been beat up, a lot of people would have compassion. Oh man, that's a shame. That's a crying shame what happened to him. Man, hope he gets okay. Hope somebody comes along to help him. Whew, glad that wasn't me. Man, they did a number on him. Wow. Feels so bad for that guy. But the Samaritan showed mercy on him. It took effort. He acted on his compassion. And it took effort on his part. Not just feeling sorry for the guy, but he took his own time, his own effort. He was inconvenienced. Time, money, and he showed mercy on him. Also in verse 37, Jesus gives them a command. A command. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You're Jews. You know what was in the law. You quoted it to me. You want to know what to have eternal life? I've told you. You wanted clarification. I gave you a story. Now you go and do likewise. Not just tell the story to other people. You go and do it. Do it. Was it a few years ago? I don't know if they still do it. But Nike used to have a commercial and their logo was just do it. Jesus is telling them, go and do likewise. We're at the beginning of a new week. As we venture into this new week, we're going to run into all sorts of people. Let's take Jesus' command, apply it to us, and have compassion and action on others. Let our light shine. The scripture reading that Dick read from Matthew this morning, Jesus is telling them, if you show love to your brother, to those that love you, what have you really done? It's easy to be friendly to your friends. Jesus gave a parable about having compassion and action on a stranger. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. And as Jesus says, go and do likewise for us. Let's us this week go and do likewise. I think we're even, Stephen, this week, because last week I think I went 10 minutes over. This is a little short. So it all works out. It all averages out. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism. I think, as I'm quickly scanning, I'm pretty sure we're all Christians. I'm pretty sure that the Lord has added us after baptism to His church. The church that Jesus established, the church that Jesus paid for with His own life. We've been added when we were baptized. If you're not baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we have the opportunity to do so today. If you need prayers, if you would like to study more, if you have a request, a burden that's on your heart, and need your brothers and sisters to pray for you, we can do that too. If you've been looking for a church home, maybe bounce around to a couple of different congregations in town, and you realize, I'd like to work with this group. This group teaches the Bible. This group is sound, it's friendly, and would like to work with us here at South Valley. We would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while we stand and sing, we will address your needs. Let's all stand.